Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. So after LSU won the national championship, Odell Beckham was seen giving cash to the LSU players, kind of having fun, passing out some cash. And LSU immediately got wind of this, and instead of saying, hey, we have to condemn this, we need to look into this, you're not allowed to do that, Odell, we appreciate your support being a loyal alumni, but you can't hand our players cash after they won a national championship. That's not going to fly. But we're going to look into this, we're going to figure out what happened, we'll find out who he gave the money to, et cetera, et cetera. No. LSU didn't do any of that because they scared and they panicked. And what they did was say that was fake money. And so is it fake money? Well, Joe Burrow, who has nothing to gain or lose by this whatsoever, now that he's going to be the first round draft choice by the Cincinnati Bengals, was on a podcast and said, nah, that money was real. That money was real. Congratulations, LSU. You could have avoided all the scrutiny of this. Like, just say, we didn't do this. We didn't condone this. We are no. We'll figure this out. We'll solve it. We'll work with whoever. Our players can't get cash from an alumni as rich as Odell Beckham. No, you insulted all of our intelligence by thinking he gave away fake money. Now, listen, to be honest with you, I don't know if Joe Burrow's telling the truth or not. I don't know if Odell Beckham was giving away fake money or not. I think, if I'm just guessing, I'm thinking the money was real. I'm thinking the money was
definitely
real.
Did you hear the Odell Beckham Jr. news?
No,
there was video of him in the locker room because cops came in to say they were going to arrest people for smoking cigars.
Smoking cigars, yeah.
So there's a video out there. There's a cop who's yelling at a guy like, you know, you're going to arrest you, and it's all caught on video phone. And Odell Beckham Jr. Slaps this cop in the rear end.
Does he really?
He does.
Well done, Odell.
I mean, not just like a little love pat either. It was like, hey, bud, wham!
Well done, Odell. That's great. Good for him.
He was betting 1,000 that night.
I like the honesty of Joe Burrow, though, to say, no, listen, guys, it was real money. Look, I'm on my way to the pros. I did my job. I won you a national championship, but it was real money. And now LSU's like, yeah, maybe it was real. Maybe we do have to look at it. By the way, 7 underclassmen from that LSU team on their way to the pros.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. It's 1972 on Throwback Thursday, and on this date, for those of you Cowboy fans out there, Dallas wins its first Super Bowl as they beat the Miami Dolphins at Tulane Stadium in New Orleans. Roger Staubach, the MVP of a 24-3 victory over Don Shula and the Dolphins. An interesting note, the Dolphins would not lose again for the entire year of 1972 after falling in that Super Bowl. They would go undefeated 14-0. On their way to their Super Bowl championship in Super Bowl VII when they beat the Washington Redskins. By the way, the cost of a 30-second commercial back in 1972 for the Super Bowl is $86,000.
Nice.
Yeah.
Might get you a second today.
Might get you, right? Maybe get you a second. Pat Summerall and Ray Scott were the announcers on CBS. So, and the halftime show was a salute to Louis Armstrong with Ella Fitzgerald, Carol Channing, Al Hurt, and the U.S. Marine Corps drill team. There you go. None of this Beyonce stuff.
Yeah, we have no time for that.
No time for that. But this was the date the Cowboys won their first Super Bowl in 1972.
The beginning of America's team?
That's right. Beginning of America's team. Starting to formulate to be the tentacles everywhere for the star. We were talking about the AFC and the NFC championship games being rematches, and if you take anything out of those games into what you're getting this weekend, Big Mac on Twitter, KC had a depleted O-line. Mahomes was still not moving well when they played Tennessee. That's exactly right. He didn't even run once against the Titans. He did not register one quarterback run against Tennessee in that game. Patrick Mahomes has never lost a game by more than one possession. I have to believe Kansas City was a coin flip away from a Super Bowl. That taste is still in their mouth. I agree. That's the other thing about this game that I think Kansas, it's like we talked about with the Saints, although that didn't work out for them. Look, you want to get back to where you left off, and then Kansas City wants to get back where they left off. Give us the AFC Championship game at home. They got that, and now they're a win away from getting to the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years. Their last appearance was in 1970. But I can't – all those things that are going well for Kansas City right now, and there's a bunch of them, I still just can't discount Tennessee yet. I just can't go, well, the task is too big. I thought the task was way too big against Baltimore.
No, because we – you know what? To be quite honest, you have discounted them. We all have.
Right.
We discounted them the week one. We're like, there's no way. It's Patriots. You know, this is their time to shine. And
yeah,
we
Belichick does all these things in the playoffs that Belichick, the Titans won't know.
He'll know how to stop Derrick Henry.
Right, right.
Exactly. And then they take on the Ravens. You're like, it's the MVP of the league.
Yeah.
You know, you and I sat there and we both said, Ravens by what, 10, 15?
I remember we had Jonathan Hutton in Nashville. I said, look, they don't have a defense that can stop Lamar Jackson. They're going to have to figure something else out. Well, they did. They stopped him on fourth down all the time, the whole time, the whole game.
Now
they got turnovers. They got interceptions.
You're cruising the streets of Nashville these days.
Uh-huh.
Is there talk or have you heard, is Mike Vrabel a little worried about maybe potentially going to the Super Bowl?
Mike Vrabel worried about going to the Super
Yes.
Bowl? Okay.
Because you heard what he, what part of him he was willing to chop off to get there.
That's right. That's right. Is he concerned about that? Yeah. He was willing
All
to chop
I'm gonna
off.
All I'm going to say is
be careful what you wish for.
Who was the Browns coach?
Freddie Kitchens.
No.
Greg Williams.
No, the one before him.
Hugh Jackson.
Thank you.
We had to go back. We had to go three deep.
And that was only last year.
Yeah.
But remember, Hugh Jackson said that if he went 0-16 again, he was going to jump into the lake.
Jump
into
the lake. Yeah, he did.
He owned up on his bet.
He did.
Just saying, Vrabel.
Be careful, Mike Vrabel. That's right. You know what people are – you know what's the big buzz over the last couple of weeks, at least in, you know, where in my circle? I don't know how – you know, my circle in Nashville isn't that huge. Is people complaining about bandwagon fans now that the Titans are doing good. Like, people are now – talking about how much of a Titans fan they were when they stunk. And they're like, now everybody's a Titans fan. Where were you when they were 2-14 and the number two pick in the draft?
Is it kind of almost a badge of honor?
It's almost, yeah, they're wearing it like, I've always worn my Titans gear. I've always been a fan. It's interesting because I've lived in a number of cities where this conversation doesn't take place when the team wins. Right. And I've pointed this out. I go, you know, I lived in Denver for 10 years. I never heard this when the Broncos were finally winning and going.
You want to know something? If by any stretch of the imagination, my team, Chargers, go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And L.A. is all supportive, the entire city can be labeled a bandwagon.
Absolutely.
Fan.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. If that were to occur, let's say like next year.
Yeah.
They were going to the Super
Bowl next year.
Oh, yes. You'd have every reason to say, shut your mouth. Cut it out. You guys weren't there. You let that stadium get filled with the opposing fans. You have no business wearing gear or buying shirts.
Hey, you weren't there for them when they were 12-4.
Don't you dare. Because there's these like stories that appear on the news, like Titans gear is selling out at your local department store or this place, right? Everybody's got
hype.
Fever. There are all these local restaurants are planning these big showdowns, these big parties. Come down to here. You know, they've got a music, outdoor band coming for the specials. And there's also this angle that's going on where, oh, now everybody's in. Now everybody's buying in. People are now saying, I was a fan from day one. I was a fan from the moment they got here.
I just never flew my team
separate themselves from everywhere. Yeah, separating themselves from everywhere else. And I was pointing out to my friends, I'm like, listen, I was in Denver. When I got to Denver, they didn't make the playoffs or they didn't play in an AFC championship game for a while. And I said, but I never heard this when the Broncos were like, you know, where people were like, oh, I've been a Bronco fan forever. It's like, no, everybody was a Bronco fan. Everybody was living and dying with their team. People were angry when they stunk. People were calling radio stations and screaming to the high heavens when they weren't winning and losing playoff games. Like, don't this is, yeah, like now you've got people going, well, I like them when they're good and I don't care about them or I don't even pay attention to them when they're terrible. And they've been terrible for a while. And it looked like that was going to be another season. They were 2-4. And they made the switch to a backup journeyman quarterback who was a cast off from the Dolphins. I didn't think at that moment that they were going to be heading to the AFC title game. And I got to be honest with you. I think those loyal Tennessee Titans fans, I don't think they thought that either. Right? This is coming as a nice little surprise. The Packers and the 49ers, though, God, you could have picked that at the beginning of the season. Especially with the Niners, where you thought, now, if Jimmy Garoppolo plays well, they'll play well. They'll be good. But the Packers, sure, why not? Throw those two 13-3 teams
still,
in there.
We still weren't all high on the Niners because
not
we thought,
yet. You're right. No, the beginning of the season, we weren't.
Yeah, but the beginning of the season, we were like, oh, it's going to be Rams Seahawks.
Could be, yeah.
Why not the Rams? Why, I think we both said Rams.
I think we did.
Because why wouldn't we? They just came off being in the Super Bowl.
Did I have Rams? I think I had Rams Saints again as a Super Bowl.
That would make sense.
I did have the Titans making the playoffs, though. I did pick the Titans to make the playoffs, but I had them quickly gone in the playoffs. Quickly. I did have Pittsburgh winning the division, too. So go, you know, not for nothing, you know. But, yeah. But, you know, unfortunately, the Titans story, I don't think is nationally fun like other underdog-type teams that have gone down this road. I don't think the nation is getting Tennessee Titans fever. Like, well, I don't have a dog in the fight, but I'm going to root for those spunky underdog Titans. No, I don't.
Not
I don't
unless
think,
Vrabel, I don't think you're believing it. You know, keeps his promise.
If Vrabel comes out this week and says, "Yeah, I'll do that," if I go, yeah, then I think people will be like,
"Eunuch
all right.
is the way of life."
I'll be like, "All right, fine, let's root for that." Because how often do you see that in your everyday walk of life, right?
God,
not
how many,
very often.
Would he grab fans?
I would think so. Certainly not detractors. I think people are like, that's for the cause.
Then you gotta point to Nashville and go, hey, Nashville, yeah. Where are you guys now? Come on, join on the bandwagon.
What I'm interested in this town, I noticed it when I first moved here. I moved here in 2011. So, and I, you know, I didn't know anything about Nashville when we moved here. And I was trying to talk. My cousin lives here, so I was talking to him. And what I noticed when we started going to a lot of Predators games, my wife's company had tickets, so we would go a lot. And then the first year we were here, the Predators made the playoffs. And when we would go, they had, you know, how you go in between, you know, you go to a hockey game and there's a long time between periods. So they try to do some fun stuff while the Zamboni's on the ice to try to keep you occupied while the game is, you know, it's a good little chunk of time. In Nashville, they have a band that plays. Like they have a stage, and they usually find some up and coming band that's willing to come and play, and they play between periods. And sometimes, you know, it's good music, good bands. But during the playoffs, you got, you know, Vince Gill came and played, and Martina McBride played, and there was this, you know, there was talk about possibly Carrie Underwood, because she was married to Mike Fisher, coming out and singing a song, but I don't think she ever did. But you would get celebrity artists who were huge fans. I mean, huge fans of the Predators coming to play. I mean, Vince Gill led a chant. He wears his jersey. You know, we had all the other artists, you know, would come out and sing. And I'm wondering, as now it's getting closer and closer to the game, how many of these country singers are going to start coming out on the news and on TV programs and supporting the Tennessee Titans and showing off their Tennessee wear. Because we've got a good amount of celebrities in this town. And they're all going to jump on the bandwagon and then get attacked by the real Tennessee Titans fans. Who said, oh, well, Trisha Yearwood, you were never a fan to begin with. Or whatever country artist there is. Jason Aldean, you were never really a true fan. Or whoever is sporting. You know, Luke Bryan,
you were
never a fan.
Do we have to install or institute tests?
Yeah, that's right. That's what they should do. Like if Luke Bryan comes out and goes, hey man, I've been a Tennessee Titan fan my whole time. I'm like, oh yeah, well, how many yards did Steve McNair throw in the you know, AFC Championship game in the year they went to the Super Bowl? Well, I don't really know that. See, you're not a true fan. Maybe we have to do that. So Kansas City, though, that's a fan base. I mean, that is a long time suffering fan base. Can you imagine 50 years? You've been to one Super Bowl and you have to wait 50 years to go back again? I mean, my God, your Chargers have a more recent history in the Super Bowl than the Chiefs.
Yeah, but a brief one.
Yeah, it's true. Let me think. We've had the Carolina Panthers have gone to a Super Bowl. Jacksonville has not. Carolina went to two Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm trying to think here. A couple of other teams. Like Seattle was a long time, didn't go to a Super Bowl. Then they went to two. I'm trying to think of a couple of other teams. Like Kansas City, 50 years has watched all these other teams go to the Super Bowl, and they haven't. Like all the, like looking back going, oh my God, we haven't gone in 50 years. And now they're one game away. So you can, that's a long suffering fan base. Long suffering
fan base. And a favorite to get there too.
And a favorite to get there. They're right. Big Mac on Twitter, you're right. They should get there. They absolutely should. A coin flip away. Never touch that ball in the overtime against the Patriots. Now they've got a team. The Patriots were still a little scary, even though you're getting them at home. The Titans are scary, but they're not Patriots scary from last year.
No, but you know, but it's a different type of scary just because you don't, with the Patriots, you kind of know what to expect. You know that you're going to face a really good defense because Belichick knows how to scheme. And then you know you're going up against the greatest quarterback of all time.
Right.
And if you can isolate that quarterback and force him to do things that he's uncomfortable with or just force pressure on him and whatnot, the Chiefs were able to give themselves a chance. They just made a few mistakes down towards the end of the game. That cost him the game.
All right.
With the Titans, though, I mean, if you stop Derrick Henry, does that mean you're going to give Tannehill more time and can he go off?
That's true. All right, coming up, I'll give you the one team in recent history in terms of their playoffs that the Titans do remind me of. And we'll talk more about the Packers and the Niners as they square off. Plus, something I'm excited about from last night, next on SB Nation AM.
Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Bit of parts, bit of prices every day. I don't know if you saw this last night, but my South Carolina Gamecocks upset 10th-ranked Kentucky last night.
What is going on?
I'm so happy, but this has happened many times before. Three of the last four times Kentucky's gone to South Carolina, they've lost. So this was, not old hat, but it's still a big deal. But it's a big deal in my family because my brother went to the University of Kentucky. And, of course, he owns basketball rights in our family. His team goes plays for, like, national titles and stuff. My team goes to the Final Four, and I basically shut down. But his team routinely goes to the tournament and routinely tries to make deep runs and has a couple of titles in his back pocket. So this is a big deal. 81-73, hit a last second banking buzzer beating three pointer to win.
You've gotten to that point now where this is expected, though, right?
Yeah. I feel like they've beaten Kentucky a number of times in my lifetime. So I feel like I've always given my brother the every year text of ha ha ha. But see, he doesn't send Kentucky beat South Carolina text because he says, you know, we don't dwell on beating the lower end of the SEC on a consistent basis.
Shut up.
I know. It's kind of arrogant. So arrogant. So, you know, Frank Martin, let me just say this. Frank Martin, he used to be the coach at Kansas State. He had Kansas State as one of like the national powers. Like he was a big coach at a big program. And he left to coach South Carolina. And I know there was some discontent with the people in Manhattan and him when he was at Kansas State. But I remember at the time, and this is one of those things I got wrong, completely wrong. But you have to give me credit because I didn't see any sort of trend that would be different. South Carolina basketball is just, it's not on the same level as Kentucky, Florida, or other schools, you know, a couple of schools in the SEC that have built pretty strong programs. But what had happened over the last couple of years is really good coaches that had done really well at other places would move up to South Carolina. Darren Horn became the coach there. Eddie Folger became the coach there. Dave Odom, Coach Wake Forest, and Tim Duncan, and you know, he went there. But they didn't do anything. They did not do anything, and they disappeared. They would just disappear. you have these big name guys who are up and coming, right? Just up and coming, climbing the ladder. Or Dave Odom, who had done a lot of great things at Wake Forest, and he went to South Carolina to coach there. They disappeared off the map. They didn't change the program. They didn't do great things. They just would disappear. So I said to Frank, I said about Frank Martin when he got hired, I said, welcome to the college basketball witness protection program. You're going to change your social security number. You might as well change your name. No one's going to be able to find you. You're going to disappear off the radar. You're going off the grid. You coach a South Carolina Gamecock. Everything that you've built, every bit of name recognition that you have, everything that you are building towards your brand is going to be erased when you step foot in Columbia, South Carolina to coach the Gamecocks. And I was dead wrong about Frank Martin. He got the team in the tournament. He got the team to win a regional, the East Regional in New York City, beating Florida. He got them to the Final Four. He's recruited okay, pretty well. I mean, for South Carolina, he's recruited pretty well. And he does this every now and then where he beats a top team like Kentucky. So I was wrong. But the evidence was clearly on my side at the time because they hadn't done anything. So that is a little... A little feel-good moment from college basketball last night. There's a lot of good moments from college basketball last night. A good win for Seton Hall. They beat Butler last night. Georgetown upset Creighton, number 25 Creighton. Florida State's a good basketball team. Auburn suffered its first loss of the season last night, losing to Alabama. Baylor is really good, and I don't think people realize how good Baylor is. And Jared Butler, they beat Iowa State. They're winning on the road. They're winning at home. They're winning all the time. So... good night of college hoops last night. So, but we're going to focus more on the NFL. Green Bay Packers at the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl. 1972 is Throwback Thursday today, celebration of the Dallas Cowboys. And speaking of the Cowboys, so Cliff Harris, this defensive star or a safety for the Cowboys back in the 70s, is going to the Hall of Fame as part of the Centennial class. And he is going in with Jimmy Johnson, who won two Super Bowls, so two Cowboys. But did you see the video yesterday of Drew Pearson not getting the phone call?
Yes.
Not getting into the Hall of Fame? God. And how angry he was and how really disappointed he was?
Do you blame him?
I don't blame him at all. He's holding out hope that he'll get in. But you know, whenever I hear a professional athlete say to me or the media, I don't care about the Hall of Fame. That means nothing to me. I did my career. I let it stand on its own. I don't care. I think they're lying. I think these guys want to go to the Hall of Fame. I don't care what sport they're in. I think they all want to go to the Hall of Fame. I think they're saying it to save face in case they don't get in. But I think these guys, all of them, really want to go to the Hall of Fame.
They all have Drew Pearson's reaction. Maybe some of them aren't as visual as he was.
Right.
Because, I mean, he was ready to do some murdering.
Oh, God. I mean, he really was taking it hard. I mean, he really took it hard.
I mean, I didn't really know too much about, like, just his story. But, you know, the first thing everyone keeps mentioning, he was first team. He's on the all-decade team, 1970s first team.
He's the only one. Yes!
How does he get glossed over?
I don't know. You know, listen, I know people who vote for the Baseball Hall of Fame, right? And I've known a couple of these guys in my time covering the Rockies, and I get to meet a lot of them. And I'm very inquisitive, so I ask about stuff like this. You know, there's some criteria there. They look at some numbers. You reach some benchmarks, and you say, you know, if you get this many hits, if you have this many home runs, if you have this many RBIs, if you have this batting average, you know, then I put you in these columns, and I judge you based on certain things. And I go, okay, and that's been consistent of everybody I've talked to, at least, about how they grade out their Hall of Fame votes. Usually, it's very numbers-based. When it comes to the Hall of Fame of football, I have no idea. I don't know if they're throwing darts against the wall. I don't know what they want. I don't know what they're looking for. I don't know why they vote for certain guys and they don't vote for certain guys. Everything seems subjective. Everything seems to be based on emotion. Did I like watching that guy play? Does he feel like a Hall of Famer to me? You know, Drew Pearson, by all accounts, is a Hall of Famer. By all accounts. If you're on an all-decade team, if you're on an all-decade first team, how are you not in the Hall of Fame? If he was on a third team all-decade, all right, then we might have to play with some numbers and just double-check. But if you're on the first all-decade, over a 10-year period, you are on the first team of wide receivers, how in God's name are you not in the Hall of Fame? And I don't blame him. I don't blame him for being mad. I don't blame him for being angry. And by the way, when the draft was in Philadelphia, He had the best introduction for the team he was represented of anybody ever in the history of the draft. God bless him. But I hope he gets into the Hall of Fame. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser!
All right, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Throwback Thursday. We celebrate 1972, the year the Dallas Cowboys won their first Super Bowl on this date, beating the Miami Dolphins in New Orleans at Tulane Stadium. So, if that didn't already make you feel good, here's the good of the good, the bad, and the dumb.
Oh, this is a really feel-good.
All right.
Okay, an English soccer fan, he loved his team so much. Norwich. Mm-hmm. His team is Norwich City, who... You know, he said he loves them in the good times and the bad. He left the team $130 in his will.
He left the team how much?
$130 in his will.
Oh, that's cool.
So he could buy the lads a round of drinks.
That's really awesome. Now, here's two things on this. One, that's awesome. How many lads is he talking about?
You're talking about probably about 18.
Okay, 18 people. So that's pretty good.
Usually what, I'd say let's round it to 20 and say, you know, there's 20 people on the team.
Second, and I'm not saying it hasn't happened before, it's just I've never heard of this. How come I haven't heard about somebody else doing something awesome like
exactly,
this?
Exactly, right?
Like, how come in my lifetime I've never heard of a story where somebody left just enough money to buy all the Boston Celtics a drink, or the Lakers, or the Patriots, or the whoever. Yeah. Like, I haven't heard that story. That's the first time I've heard of somebody leaving money in their will specifically to thank a team by buying them a drink and saying, I loved everything that you've done for my whole life. Thank you. That's awesome. It's 2020, and now I've heard a story like that for the first time. Doesn't mean it hasn't happened, so don't tweet me and say, oh, this happened with the Packers once time. This guy in Madison did this. Great. That's all. I've just never heard it. Yeah. This is the first time I've heard something like this.
His youngest daughter was telling the press he wanted to give it to them to thank them for their entertainment through the good times and the bad.
Holy cow, that's awesome. That's so tremendous.
He actually left £100, but that translates to about 130 American dollars.
That's wonderful.
And you think about it, like, you know, okay, figure there's 20 players on the team. Maybe drinks are like $5 each.
Yeah.
Perfect amount.
It's not like he was, you know, it's like he's saying, here's 10 drinks apiece. He's like, just one drink.
Yeah, just wanted to buy you guys a round.
I want to buy you a round.
Just wanted to thank you for, you know, entertaining me through all the years. And it's Norwich City is a unique club because right now they're in the Premier League, the highest flight. But a lot of times they're not. And, you know, you're talking about a guy who's been following this team. I mean, you know, be like you following the Steelers for years and years and years. And your Steelers never made it to the play. I guess being a Browns fan, right?
Right, right.
And you just saying, you know, hey, Browns players, thanks for everything, man.
That's awesome.
You know, we had some good times, we had some bad, but I was a fan through and through.
I'm going to suggest to my father that in his will, he ought to put in it that the Mets owe him $130
for all
the
agony right.
and pain
Maybe
that
more.
That team has given him over the years. So instead of buying them a drink, he should say, every one of you buy me a drink in my last days.
And maybe that's why, you know, we haven't heard a story like this before because
right.
everyone's
sitting
maybe
there. That's it.
They all of a sudden sit down and rationalize right. and like, why am I buying them? Like,
you why think, am I buying them bums a drink? Why am I buying those losers
you
think, a drink?
You know, I would say, you know, somebody in Buffalo, right? They would probably buy the Bills a drink.
Yeah, sure.
Because, you know, Bills Mafia is a thing. You're really hyped on your team. Really, what else do you have going on for you in Western New York?
That makes sense.
But then you realize, you know what? There were four straight years, man.
Yeah, they couldn't get one.
Couldn't even get one. You came close once, and then the rest of them, you didn't even bother showing up.
Can't even get one. Out of four times, four straight times, you couldn't land one.
I won. Come on.
That's a good story, though.
Yeah.
That should be a trend. That's a good story.
And,
I like
you know
that.
What? Maybe it will be.
That's a good story. All right. So then what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day. I can't think of anything really bad that happened yesterday as a, you know, there's a lot of bad going on in the world. But this one really might be the worst of the bad that happened yesterday because this is OJ Simpson.
Oh. Is he on Twitter again?
Making sense.
Yeah, well,
I don't know if we want this in our life, right?
Okay, let's hear what OJ has to say.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly. Well, this morning, all the conversation is about baseball and Cara and who cheated and who took advantage. Well, I got news for you guys. There's nothing new in baseball. I heard a guy today was talking about how noble all of these old players were. Look, none of this is new. One of the reasons why the manager didn't worry about players that were on his team getting traded and then maybe squealing on him, because a lot of this stuff is pretty prevalent. Over the years, back in the day, I had an opportunity to play a fair amount of tennis with Hank Greenberg, a little golf with Mickey Mantle. And when him and his boys got together, you would hear the stories they would tell about all of these old players, you know. What do you think Ty Cobb was doing back in the day? You know, you don't think he was trying to take advantage of virtually everything? Before television, these guys was doing everything. And the fact that a few guys got caught now, well, yeah, I agree. It's wrong, and they should be punished. But I don't want to hear nobody else talk about all the noble players and how disrespectful this is to baseball. Look, there's nothing new in baseball. This has been going on forever. I'm just saying.
He's 100% correct.
Do we want this in our life?
OJ's killing it on Twitter, and I don't mean that as a joke. He really is doing a good job Twitter.
He's slaying them. He's just slaying Twitter.
I get crazy like this. I'm trying to clean this up a little bit. I see OJ on Twitter, and I'm marveled at it. I'm marveled that in 2020, this guy has got a social media platform. He's playing golf. He's talking. He's hanging out. He's talking about the fantasy football championship that he won, and whatever trophy he got actually belongs to the Goldman family. I mean, anything that he talks about. I mean, everything. Right? And yet, I have to stop. Go. This guy murdered two people. I should not be enjoying right. O.J. Simpson's tweets.
Yes. No, he
murdered two people, and I should be as angry about it as I was in 1995.
95,
when he got acquitted.
We all sat there like, wait,
when
what?
When I saw this and I went, oh my God, he got away with murdering two people. I should be as angry today as I was then, and I find myself, it's a guilty pleasure, I find myself enjoying O.J. Simpson on Twitter. I don't know why, and I feel guilty about it. I watch him, I listen to him, I look at the comments and the people responding to him and all the jokes they're making, and I'm like, this is great for Twitter, and I shouldn't because he still murdered two people.
Yeah,
right. I'm burying my soul here, saying you can judge me however you want, people. But I enjoy O.J. Simpson on Twitter, and I know I shouldn't be enjoying O.J. Simpson on Twitter, that he murdered two people, but for some reason I can't help it.
No, that's why I'm watching this video. What happens is reality gets suspended.
That's a great way to put that.
Because
that's a great way to put
you're
it.
You're watching this video, and you're just watching an ex-football player just give his two cents about, you know, the cheating scandal going on in baseball. And somehow, some way, that video is about a minute and a half long. In that 90 seconds, you're watching it, and you forget, oh, I'm watching a murderer right now.
That's right. That is correct.
And then as soon as it was over, I'm like, damn it, OJ's making sense. How is this allowed?
Right. Completely. It's weird.
Like you said, this video, he's sitting in a golf, or no, he's not sitting in a golf cart. He's sitting on a patio somewhere.
He looks like he's living the life.
Just enjoying the sunshine.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's why I had to put it in my bag today, because I don't know if we're ready for OJ to be logical and making sense. Because the next step for him then is going to be becoming an analyst on TV.
And the other thing too is, yeah, that's right. I know he's close. He's so close.
I mean, because you know what? They will put him on. They put Pete Rose on.
I'm telling
you
right now.
And I'm not saying Pete Rose murdered anybody, but Pete Rose is banned from baseball. He's not allowed to be associated with baseball. Yeah, I think it was Fox was like, hey, let's put him as an analyst, man. This guy knows what he's talking about.
I'm telling you right now, even money, there are TV producers right now trying to figure out how to get OJ on TV.
Yeah.
There is somebody out there maybe it's fly-by-night organization. Maybe it's a guy just trying to take a gamble, take a chance. Somebody's trying to figure out how to get the juice back on TV. Here's the other thing about him golfing. Remember at the end of that show with Cuba Gooding Jr., they talked about he couldn't get back on Riviera.
Yeah.
Riviera didn't want him anymore. I'm watching him play golf. He looks like he's at these nice country clubs again.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like he's like, because the Goldmans couldn't get his pension. They could get everything else, like, but they couldn't get his pension.
His fantasy football trophy.
Right? Like his fantasy football trophy.
I can't believe he said that.
I know. I know. And
should he ship it to him?
Should he probably should. God. And he looks like he's like, no, I'm playing at these nice posh places where apparently they're welcoming him in.
Yep, enjoying a cigar.
Yeah.
Cold beverage.
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right. So what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, you'll have thoughts on this one.
Okay.
There was a Kansas man. He lost his custody battle against his ex-wife.
Yes.
With his ex-wife, right?
Right.
And so he did the only logical thing that one would do when you lose a custody battle to your ex-wife. And that is challenge her to trial by combat.
Trial by combat, like Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Very nice. What did they say when he pulled this stunt out?
See, David Ostrom, 40, that's the man's name, claims in court papers that his ex-wife, Bridget, who is 38, and her attorney have already destroyed him legally in their ongoing legal battle in her hometown in Iowa. He says, I now wish to give them the chance to meet me on the field of battle while I will rend their souls from their bodies.
Now you can understand why divorce was probably appropriate in this situation.
He asked the judge for a 3-month delay so he could obtain Japanese samurai swords.
Oh, this is awesome.
Ready for his planned combat.
Oh, this is great. No wonder the judge said, yeah, you're going nowhere near your kids. Oh, my God.
This is a thing in another country. Why can't it be in America?
He's trying to bring it here. I'm trying to bring it here. Samurai swords.
Yeah.
You crazy?
Yeah, you know, we need samurai swords. I mean, at least it's fair. You know, a gun is quick and, you know, useless, man. I mean, it's just a gun. You shoot someone, it's over. At least
it's made by Hori Hanzo, like in Kill Bill.
Yeah, you need to take your time. You need training.
God, those samurai swords. Oh, my God. How does he think this is going to play out?
I don't know.
This is awesome. That is great. Samurai swords.
You know, I mean, honestly,
I'm almost scared.
If you're upset, you're trying to win your kids back. That's a weird move, right?
It's a weird move. Right?
Say hypothetically, the judge goes, you know what? I want to see this as much.
Sure,
as everybody
why
else.
Not? Yeah, let's do it.
Do you think that same judge is going to turn around like, oh, you got her? Here's your kids.
Yep, exactly.
It's not going to happen.
Chopped her to pieces. Here's your kids.
Yeah, you chopped her to pieces,
sword.
And the judge's like, hey, guess what? Murder.
God, no wonder. Oh, God, these people are weird. That's bizarre.
Yeah, so death by combat.
That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM. 1972, Throwback Thursday. The 72 Super Bowl, well, January of 72 for the 71 season. Dallas beats Miami, wins their first Super Bowl championship. I've heard this song many times. What's the name of the group that did this in 1972?
One Lone Man, Robert John.
One Lone Man, Robert John.
Yep. Robert John sang this song. Man All with right. two names. Two first names, right?
Very, yeah. All right. 1972 music. This is going to be an interesting day. It's going to be an interesting morning. So, the New York Mets are assessing whether Carlos Beltran should be fired for his involvement in the sign-stealing fallout.
Yeah, he should.
Yeah, I'm starting to lean towards he probably should.
But real quick, what's your reasoning?
My reasoning is because he said to the Mets he wasn't involved in it. And so you don't lie in the job interview.
My reasoning is just because I want to see the Mets scramble for a manager.
Well, that makes sense. That's a better reason for Carlos Beltran to lose his job, to watch the Mets scramble for a new manager as they're getting ready to head to Florida to open up camp. But I don't know if you know what would Gabe Lax of USA Today, we interviewed him yesterday, had a really good point. If you're Brody Van Wagenen, what the name of the new general manager, you can't fire your guy a couple of weeks after you hire him.
Yeah, sure you can.
Can you? I guess with new information, right. I guess.
I got a quick little soundbite to play for you. This was Alex Cora. I don't know if you saw this video. It went extremely viral yesterday.
I saw this yesterday.
This is him talking about Carlos Beltran.
All right, well, we'll get that queued up in a second. While we wait for that.
We're going to do it after.
Okay. So we almost had it, but now we don't.
It was not. It was not firing for me like it should.
No problem. Technical issues. But if you're the Mets, you do have an issue here because, again, if you're Major League Baseball, you're kind of trying to lay down a level of punishment across the board. But you can't go after the players because there's too many players involved. And you've already kind of said, look, if you just kind of talk, you know, we're going to offer some sort of level of immunity here. But if you're the Mets, this is a level of embarrassment given that, look, the Astros fired A.J. Hinch. Major League Baseball didn't say to them to do that. You know, the Astros could have said, okay, we'll get a new manager for 2021, and then Hinch gets his job back in 2022. They could have done that. They could have elevated a bench coach for the interim position. The Red Sox fired Alex Cora, even though they said it was a mutual parting of ways. They still fired him.
They could have very well done what the Saints did with Bounty Gate.
Absolutely, with Bounty Gate, you keep him on, but he can't coach. But both the Red Sox and the Astros got rid of the people that were involved in that scandal to clean house. And the Mets are welcoming in a guy that in the report, only player really in the report, and that he's the manager. Maybe he's got to go.